You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Saturday. That's right, Saturday, because that's what we're doing. I just wasn't around the house for a few days. So, thus, we are doing a Saturday's episode and a Sunday episode to make up for Thursday and Friday. Today will be the Michigan mailbag. Tomorrow, Sunday, will be a post-game of the Michigan-Ohio State game. I'm not going to the game, in part to do the mailbag, but more importantly because I'm going to church. And it's not enough time for me to go from church to Ann Arbor. So that's how we're going to do it. I'm loving this mailbag because it's not too long. It's like it used to be, 24, 25 questions. So let's, Zuri always has all kinds of drama. You can't hear or see her probably, but she, every time I start the podcast, she's just all kinds of drama. Lockdown Wolverines podcast, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Let's get to the leaders and best, starting with James Crudup at James Crudup 6. Are you surprised Michigan hasn't landed an elite cornerback in the portal or in this recruiting class? Well, I don't think that they were going that hard after. I mean, I know they wanted some of those guys. The dude that from Ole Miss that committed to Ohio State, Fentrell Cyprus, Grimes from North Carolina. But I am surprised more so that they didn't get a guy from the portal. As far as guys that were, I mean, they didn't really get any overall elite players in the recruiting class, period. So it's not a surprise that they didn't get one in the class, because it really wasn't anyone in this particular class that it seemed like, oh man, not like the Will Johnson, Damani Jackson. But I mean, there's still time for them to get someone in the transfer portal. Certainly, I think that would come after spring ball. They're going to definitely work towards that. But I think that they also thought they were probably going to get one of DJ Turner and Jamon Green back and not lose both. And then they did lose both. But obviously they've got some things to figure out as far as that's concerned. I mean, they got a guy in 24 in Jacob Oden, who is on that borderline elite type level. Certainly there's other guys that they're targeting there whose names escape me, so I'm not going to even try. It's cornerback for some reason, after being like a place where Michigan was really getting top level guys, hasn't really been, outside of Will Johnson, they haven't really been bringing in like high level corners. I mean, David Long, LeVert Hill were both four stars. They're both, I would say, elite. But like outside of that, like they didn't, like you look back and, you know, DJ Turner was really good. Jalen Perry was considered to be really good, but like not necessarily full blown elite. So it's been an interesting cycle for Michigan. When I say cycle, I mean just the entire Jim Harbaugh era when it comes to the trying to get cornerback. Safety, they've had more luck with, but keeping in mind, they still have some guys that can certainly come up and do really well. You know, still looking at the haul from last year, 2022. Josh Barr, Jadicky, basketball has been disappointing so far this year. Seems like people underestimated what losing Eli Brooks' leadership and a few NBA draft picks would do. I'm wondering why I don't see the same grace being given to Juwan that other Michigan coaches get for a down year. Your thoughts? I think it's because it's been a couple years of underachieving, because even last year wasn't exactly sunshine and rainbows, you know? I think that's why. And I don't think he's going anywhere. I know you get the message board warriors that start to be like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, this is it, you know. But I just think that the honeymoon period is worn off. We've seen this a few times. This time it's his players. It's his fault. You know, this isn't any, there are no holdovers from Beeline anymore. It's this is year four, right? So it's his problem. And it is underachieving, and especially with some talent. Last year, underachieved with some talent. I think that, you know, when you get into a trend, people will get upset. But I think that this is kind of what Michigan basketball kind of has been, even was in John Beilein's era, right? People act like he didn't have some substandard years here and there, because he did. 2017 was one of them. It just ended really well. If that happens for this team, then more power to him. But the good news is, since you asked that question, Michigan beat Northwestern team no one expected him to beat. Got a very important game against Ohio State on Sunday. It might not be important in terms of standings, but by keeping a rival down after they got out to a hot start, looked like the best team in the Big Ten, and is just losing game after game after game. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf21. What freshman will have the biggest game impact? Can the interior D-line guys fill in for Mozzie leaving and not miss a beat? I don't know if not miss a beat, but I mean, I think that you've got a lot of talent there. Looking at Kenneth Grant, who I feel like could be ready sooner than Mozzie. I mean, he's gotten more time on task than Mozzie did. Mozzie didn't play his freshman year. Kenneth Grant has. Mason Graham is obviously the question is, though, is he's not really necessarily a nose, I don't think, per se. But we've seen him kind of play that role. I just don't think that it's going to be, I think it's going to be an all hands on deck situation. As far as the freshman with the biggest in-game impact, that one's difficult. Jair could get some early playing time and be that guy, Jair Hill. I know I'm going to forget somebody because I'm not looking it up here. I'm just trying to think of who could be those guys. Carmelo English is probably the general one. And Eno Etta certainly could come in and be a dude right away as well. But Jair and Carmelo English would be the ones that I'd have my eyes on personally. Jair's at least an early enrollee, so we'll get to see him on April 1st. Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1, what are your overall thoughts on this class as a whole? I think it's okay, right? Like, they feel like they got some diamonds in the rough, some guys that if they had another year in high school, and certainly they're of the age where they could have another year in high school, that they would be four stars or five stars. I think that they settled a little bit, personally. I think that they could have done better than they did. But part of that is NIL. Part of that is Harbaugh flirting with the NFL. And I think Michigan tends to settle sometimes when it comes to recruiting. But I still think it has the possibility of being a good class. I mean, number 18 overall, we're not talking like there will be a question later here in this mailbag where it makes it sound like Michigan is ranked like 60th, like Purdue or Indiana, right? It's not. It's just not like an elite class. But track record, last class to rank this low under Jim Harbaugh ended up being his best, 2018. So if you get hits, then it all works out. Number two, how many running backs do you see in the 2024 class? I'd imagine two. I think that's kind of what they're going for. I mean, they did get Cole Kmet. I should have mentioned him earlier. He's one that I certainly think could be an early impact guy. But I think that they probably need to get a Taylor Tatum and or a Jordan Marshall in this class. So I think they'll get two. I think that's kind of the magic number for them, because I don't know that Cole Kmet seems more like a piece that you insert, like a third down change of pace type guy, a different type of back, not like a bruising third down player, but like a complete change of pace. It's third and four. You put him in. Where is he coming from? We'll find out, you know. And I could see them kind of going, trying to get like a Thunder and Lightning type duo, or Lightning and Lightning, or Thunder and Thunder. I don't know. I haven't watched any tape on Tatum nor Marshall, so I couldn't tell you exactly their running style, but I wouldn't be surprised if they land both of them. They are recruiting both of them very hard. Number three, how is Zuri? She's doing good. She's just, she's staring at me while laying on the couch. And now she's getting up to come over here because I looked at her. Most of the time she doesn't want much of my attention. But right now, because I'm talking and she's very confused, why am I not talking to her? So She's doing good. It's going to be interesting, though. I'm dropping her off for a couple days while I go to Disney at a dog sitter who I have not met yet. So that's going to be interesting to see how she handles that, because I've never had, always had dog sitters come to, not me go to. KRTF Farmer 84, what's the significance of the NIL deal with Learfield? To my knowledge, to my understanding, which could be errant, it's that it allows players to use Michigan logos and such, the winged helmet and things like that, on their NIL merchandise, which is pretty big, right? Because now it will look official. That's the big difference. So to my knowledge, that's the big deal. And then you couple that with Learfield's owned by William Morris Endeavor, who is where Michigan is got a deal going here that's going to be announced eventually. I think that all kind of will work itself out well. UTA for life, though. Kind of surprising. I know UTA doesn't really have a big sports division, but I mean, it was founded by a Michigan man, Peter Benedict. He's got a wing in North Quad. I got my job at UTA via a Michigan mixer. I told you that story. Finishing us out in segment one, Jonathan Joseph at J Joseph 2156. If you could have a meal with any three Michigan players, current or past, who would it be? Age they are now, unless they've passed age, passed them age right before passing. I wouldn't pick anyone who's passed away, because that just seems weird. I don't know why. I'm more of a modern era guy to the most part. But here's the thing, is like Tom Brady would be number one. That's no brainer for me. Cause he was I was the most obsessed with Tom Brady. You're right. Like I've told you my ignorance of Michigan football in like the 98, 99, my senior year of high school. And cause I was more of a Lions guy. And I'd go to my grandparents and watch Michigan games. And I was just like, oh, this Tom Brady kid's awesome. He is awesome. He's just the next great Michigan quarterback. So I never wavered. Plus, he was the quarterback for my freshman year at Michigan. So I never wavered on my Tom Brady love. So he'd be number one. Number two would be someone I've already had dinner with. And that's my good friend Jake Butt. So, I would definitely, because he's best tight end in Michigan history. Plus, he's just a great dude. I'll have dinner with him anytime. I know that's a cop-out. That would be it. Number three, it would probably be Desmond Howard, because I want to hear all of his stories of doing College Game Day. I think that would be the one. But I know that's a terribly uninteresting list. But it's a little different because it's not like I haven't had exposure to a lot of guys. I've had dinner with different players or been around former players through different means and things of that nature. And there's no part of me that's starstruck by any of them, right? Because I've been through that whole, you know, that type of thing, that shine wears off after a while. And I know that sounds really sad, but that's part of the job. The shine eventually wears off. Talking to you, Clayton Safey, eventually the shine is going to wear off, my friend. All right, let's continue on. All right, this year the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for lockdown because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57. With no sweat first bet, you'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets and your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on anything and everything, from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
It's
Somehow segment one always goes by. 24, there's like 24 questions compared to like 45, which we get sometimes, and this is still going to be like a long episode. That's how it always goes. So yeah, just FYI, midweek next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there will be episodes. They will be out much earlier than they normally are. Probably around like 9, 10, 11, noon, whenever I decide. They're all going to be pre-recorded much earlier. They're all going to be done on Sunday and Monday, probably Monday. So I'll be wearing the same clothes all 3 days. Don't be alarmed. I've taken showers and stuff since. I'll just be at Disney World. And then the mailbag will end up being on Friday this next week, assuming I'm not dead tired. So Friday or Saturday, but we'll have 6, maybe 7 days in a row of podcasts this week. Jim, at Jim in the North for our Victor's Valiant leading us off. Do you get into the Star Wars Legends universe at all or the Timothy Zahn books? I got nothing for sports. Sorry. No, because it would confuse my little brain when it comes to retaining information unless it fits into the bigger picture. So I don't read anything Legends. I don't want to confuse what I already think I know about what they have set up in the universe. I have read Timothy Zahn books. He wrote the Thrawn books, right? Because I've read two of the three of the original Thrawn trilogy. I read the first Thrawn Ascension book. But I didn't read everything else. He was the one who did those, right? And I know I've read another Timothy Zahn book. I haven't read a Star Wars book in a long time. It's been over a year since I finished one, but maybe longer. It might be a year and a half or so. But I did at the beginning of 2020, before the pandemic, if I could have just waited, I read like something like 35 Star Wars books in 30 days. I was going nuts. But yeah, I haven't read a Star Wars book in a while. I have a bunch that I've bought that I haven't read, and including I have the whole new Thrawn Ascendancy. I have, I think that Claudia Gray High Republic book I haven't read yet. None of them I don't think are here. No, they're not over. I didn't bring them here. They're in storage. So, it's going to be a little while. Ike Hamlin, a Hamstand 87, and Jim and JJ had a passing, comp like in the Pro Bowl, who would win? I think JJ would win, but that's just me. I think modern football players are more accurate than the old school ones, personally. Actual question, what does the new NIL agency actually mean? To my knowledge, and I will get more when they actually announce it, but I think it just means that they'll represent individual players for deals, and they'll help them get deals, just like a talent agency would, right? For movies or marketing or whatever, you know, lit being producers, writers, directors, all of that kind of stuff. So they're just going to be connecting them to money, and then they'll get them the biggest deals they can because they take 10%. So if you're a Blake Corum level player and they're going to try to get you like a national, you know, commercial or something like that, that is just going to pay like crazy. So that I think can be a much bigger deal than people understand, because as much as the pay for play is a thing and everything, and Michigan's not going to do that, they can be like, look at the deal that superstars got. You know, J.J. McCarthy just, he's starring in a Ford commercial. You know what I mean? Like a national Ford, like that's going to be like what they're going to try to do. Whether it will work or not is a different story, but I'm sure that's exactly like they're going to, that's how talent agencies work, especially in the top, top four now is what they've got. So, Anton says, Mina Mangala at says, Mina Mangala, how much better will the chemistry between JJ and the receivers be now that he's had a year starting at quarterback? And will he get to throw it in the spring this year? I would imagine so, unless he injures himself. But as a knock on wood-ish, knock on my mouse pad on the tablecloth on wood. I think it'll be a lot better because I just think he'll have a more, like, he'll have a better grasp. Keeping in mind, like, yeah, he didn't have spring ball last year. And last year was his first year of getting like significant playing time, not just going in here and there and mostly running the ball. So last year, you kind of have to equate to CJ Stroud's first year in a way. CJ Stroud had a better year, of course, as a redshirt freshman. JJ, you know, wasn't asked to do nearly as much. Now I feel like they can ask him to do those types of things and it'll be better. Mark Z at Mark Zimke, have you ever considered adding a recruiting editor to your staff? I had one and it didn't go well. So I like our lean and mean staff right now. And I understand some people want recruiting content. The problem is I could do it. It just doesn't, like, people don't care the way that they used to. So it for me, in a lot of ways, it does become dollars and cents. Because it's a matter of how much time am I going to devote to something? Because it takes a lot of time to get a hold of get a guy to agree to an interview, get a hold of him. And after you've done a little bit of research on them, ask them the questions. I mean, that part's only like 10 minutes. Transcribe it, write into an article. And then if it doesn't really do very well, then, and that becomes a trend, you know? And like, it's one thing if it's like they're doing all 3 stars. Another thing, and when you're getting 5 stars, and people still aren't caring, then it starts to be like, well, I'm not going to spend time on that. I'm going to look for stories that people care about. So it ends up being a dollars and cents thing, in the sense of I'm looking for whatever people care about the most. What types of things do people want to read about? And recruiting is not what it was 5-6 years ago. Hopefully it'll come back, and maybe I'll have the energy to do like I used to and play dual roles. Like Sandy Lyle in Along Came Polly, Jesus Christ Superstar. Spencer Whitmore. At Spencer Whitmore, what kind of guitar do you have? I have, what, 4? I'm looking at 4. Yeah, I had 5 and a bass guitar. I still have the bass guitar. It's just, it's got a broken neck, apparently. It's sitting in the cold storage unit, just getting worse. I've got 4 now. I've got a Seagull 6-string acoustic. It's the only 6-string that I have. I'm touching him over here if you're watching on video. Why? I have an 8-string. I don't remember what brand it is, but it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful guitar I have. It's an 8-string acoustic with the, I don't remember what it's called, the frets that go diagonal. I actually haven't played it that much. I bought it off of Facebook Marketplace on my way to Penn State in 2019. I don't play guitar very often anymore, but I still have a bunch. I have the one that you used to see on video all the time, my Paul Reed Smith 7-string, and then I have a Schecter 8-string. I don't remember which one. It's not the Demon. It's, I don't remember, but it's a Schecter 8-string, neck through body, and it's incredible. All right. Perry Mitchell at Perry Mitchell 08. Is Harbaugh's NFL dalliance really the reason for poor recruiting rankings, or is the style of play just not flashy enough for many 5-star players? I mean, they rank behind Penn freaking State in the 23 class. I mean, Penn State's not been bad at recruiting this whole time. They've usually been just behind Michigan. And then the one year they were ahead of Michigan. So this is the second time in the Jim Harbaugh era that, or third time, I guess, technically, if you include 2015, that Penn State's out-recruited Michigan. But I don't think it's the style of play. I mean, Georgia's got a similar style of play. I think it's NIL. You know, and I think a lot of kids also remember 2020, and it doesn't have that panache. The Big Ten in overall is behind all the other conferences. Ohio State is the only one that got any 5 stars this cycle, by the way, and they got 1. It's Ohio State tends to get, like, I went back, 2016 was the last time they only got 1. It was Nick Bosa. Otherwise, they usually got about 3 or 4. Sometimes, I think the one class, they had like 6. And they only got 1 this cycle. It's just what it is. But again, I think they settle too much. Michigan settles too much because they don't want to get into the muck. And I think they need to do that a little bit more. Not to the point where you sacrifice your ideals, but I think they need to be a little bit more aggressive. If the rumors end up being true and that Chris Partridge is coming back, I've reached out actually to a source and I haven't heard back. So that would certainly help with the whole recruiting of it all. All right, where are we? Brett Beyer at Brett Beyer 6. So why do you think Jaden Davis is holding off on signing? Well, you can't sign, you just mean verbally pledging. And what are the chances Michigan lands him still? What's the backup plan? I don't know. And I think Michigan should start. I mean, they went and saw Dylan Wyla. I'm with with EJ Holland and his love affair for Michael Van Buren, St. Francis Academy. I don't know why they don't really go after him. I think that's just they've decided they are going to go after one quarterback. It bit them the last year. They need to figure it out to make it work. But I don't know. I don't know what he's holding. Part of me thinks he's been waiting to see if Jim Harbaugh is going to be there for the long haul. And I think that those questions haven't necessarily been answered until he signs, which he might not sign, for a while. So I don't know. I don't know why he keeps on delaying what we think is going to be his decision time. But I do think Michigan will still land him because a lot of the places that he was mostly interested in have gotten their guys. Except for Clemson, that's the one to look out for because Walker White ended up going to Auburn when everyone thought he was going to Clemson. All right. Finishing us out in segment two, Clark at Blue for Life 8. Given what they have returning on offense, is it reasonable to have the expectation of a top five unit from them? I know with their play style, they won't be putting up 40 or 50 points a game probably, but I still think they can be an elite in overall production. I don't think they'll be top five. No, because the style of play. I think you nailed that. Hopefully I have the screen up that I want, but I probably don't. And I'm probably going to end up making myself feel stupid here because I'm going to end up pulling up something that's going to negate what I'm going to think I'm going to say. Total offense wise. Well, Georgia's number five in total offense. So maybe they can take that step like Georgia did. Cause that's what I was going to point to. Cause Georgia was like 25th last year or 2 years ago and Michigan was 24th, but then Michigan stayed 24th and Georgia went up to fifth. So it's a possibility. Certainly. As far as points per game, if you're looking at scoring offense, then yeah, they can be top five because they were number six last year. They put up 40.4 points a game. Only behind Georgia, 41.1 in Alabama, USC was 41.4, Ohio State, 44.2, and Tennessee led the country. So if you're looking at points per game, then yeah, they'll be top five probably because that's what they were this last year. They were top six. So I think they can rise a spot, but anyway, all right, let's continue on. We've got a bunch more left. Not a ton more, but a bunch more. Get to them momentarily. All right, continuing on. Jackson Hells at Jackson Hells. Where does Michigan stand with Brandon Davis Swain? I don't know that they're like going that hard after him. I think if they wanted to push for him that they could get him, I think that there's a reason why he decommitted from Notre Dame, but I don't know that Michigan's really ever been hard after him, but I think that's probably where he wants to end up. That's my guess. Joe Harper at Tom's Friend Joe, what percentage of Michigan leadership opposed joining the union in 1837? Oh, see, I didn't read through all of these. Some people just see the Michigan ones and don't. You're not going to listen to this episode, dude. All right. Those are always fun. I'll read them all anyway. It doesn't matter if I read these before, but that took me by surprise. Drew Alkema at Drew Alkema. Will pay-for-play bite schools in the A if a player takes the money, goes to the school for a year, and then hits the transfer portal? Or are there stipulations with the NIL or NCAA stopping this from happening? With the NCAA, pay-for-play is illegal. You can't do it. Literally. Throw that part out the window, the NCAA part out the window, and the rest, it's the Wild West right now. It's all up to every individual, what have you. It could decimate certain boosters. If like a booster's like, yeah, I'm going to throw X amount of million at this guy, comes for a year like Quinn Ewers and then leaves. And they're like, all right, well, I'm going to do it for this next guy. And the same thing happens. Then you're going to just find yourself in a situation where it's going to be caveat emptor, or they just start running themselves broke somehow. I mean, probably not running themselves broke, but you know what I mean? Yeah, I can bite schools, but I mean, especially if it's like certain boosters are like, this is the amount that we're going to pay, and then they do it. That's where Michigan at least is kind of smart, but it's not landing them big recruits either. Trent Weller at Wolverback. Have transfer guidelines lightened up at Michigan? Not to my knowledge yet, but I mean, that's why they're bringing in mostly grad transfers and guys who are young. With NIL, seems like a transfer portal, better way to recruit for baseball, basketball, and football. Certainly. Certainly. Enchanted Pants at Enchanted Pants. Michigan's 2023 recruiting class is pretty widely regarded as a disappointment. Who should be held accountable for that and how? Not a necessarily a disappointment for them inside the building. I mean, if they like the recruits they have, and they seem to, I mean, it's a disappointment for fans and media, but doesn't mean that's what it is for Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh likes his class, and that's it. And keeping in mind, Jim Harbaugh has long looked for football guys, for fits. It's the reason why guys he didn't end up in Ann Arbor, the reason why they offer guys like Chase Lassiter or Kurt Taylor. I mean, even David Reese, who ended up being a really good linebacker for Florida, who they wanted at fullback, was kind of like a flyer in a way. It's up to that guy, Jim Harbaugh. And if he's happy with the class, guess what? Doesn't matter what you think. Mark Valentine at Mark Valentine 9. Are you hearing anything about Michigan building its recruiting department? Well, Jonathan Hurd Bond, who was an assistant recruiting guy, is out. So I don't know where they're going to go from here as far as that's concerned. Maybe that's something to do with the Partridge rumors. Maybe not. I'm sure that I feel like they need some changes. I feel like every time they get things in a good position, they screw it up somehow. See Courtney Morgan being around for 1 year. They could have kept Courtney Morgan if it wasn't for some stuff that was... I'm not even going to say it. I know a lot about that situation. A lot. The Ginger General at Ryan Eugene 18. Can we recover from this disastrous recruiting class? Again, it's not disastrous. That's just... hyperbolic, man. Hyperbole. Disappointing? Sure. Disastrous? Disastrous is ranking in the 40s or 50s. I mean, disastrous, maybe I'll give you the 30s, but 20s and above? Not great. Not for what Michigan's trying to be. But disastrous? No, it's not disastrous. Again, remember 2018 ranked lower than this one. And that's the class that brought you your first college football playoff and Big Ten championship since 2004. Finishing us out, the Victors at the Victors Go Blue. Crop for next season, and can we throw deep next season? Thank you. I don't know what that means, crop for next season. I'm an old millennial. And I'm sure that they can throw deep next season. They started doing it late in this season. And JJ's got an arm. So, yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We will be back on Sunday after the Ohio State game. So look out about an hour after the game on audio. However long it takes to upload on video afterwards. I don't know how long it takes because I set it and forget it. Then we will have episodes... Monday will be our last kind of live day, and then we'll go pre-recorded from Monday for most of the rest of the week. So if there's big breaking news, guess what? It gonna wait. So, all right. Thanks for watching. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you again soon. Peace.